Welcome to the On Come Norwich podcast. A grotesque guttural growl gushed from a growing number of Canary groupies on Saturday night as the gritty Canaries ground out their seventh point of a gratifying week. Fionn, John and me look back on three huge games and a massive fortnight or so to come. Fionn, we were just talking before we press record, because we're waiting for Punt, who is late, to the time slot that he chose, about we seem to have found some grit. We're gritty Canaries and we've not been gritty for a long time.
We are gritty, and this is what we said at the start of the season that we needed, and it has taken a little while, but it seems to be coming just at the right time. Obviously, we've got a king shithouse up front, Ashley Barnes.
This is right, yeah.
But yeah, it's sort of spreading through the team. I think the effect on the changing room he's having is working. And yeah, I think definitely the Preston game, that sort of gnarly 1-0 win didn't look like it was coming. Certainly not in the first half. We were probably a bit lucky to go in level at half time. They hit the bar, I think, basically the last kick of the ball in the first half. But then second half, I thought we really ground it out. And yeah, I had a look on the Preston message board after the game to see what they were saying, and they all seemed to absolutely hate our team, which is great.
Well, that's usually a really good sign of one, being gritty, and two, knowing that you've maybe not necessarily got away with one, but you've ground one out. I can bring in live in real time our punt correspondent, who has managed to make his way to the north section, the north wing of Punt Manors, where his microphone is set up. Punt, we were just covering the fact that we're gritty and we haven't been gritty before. And I think what I want to follow up with is there was a few people disappointed with, throwing away a 2-0 lead against Sheffield Wednesday. I think we lose that game in earlier this season. I think if you surrender two like-for-like goals in, 7-8 minutes, I think you go on to then concede a third if you haven't got the grit that King Shithouse himself, Ashley Barnes, has kind of pushed throughout the team. What say you on that?
I didn't see the game in midweek on Tuesday. I wasn't able to watch it, but I have seen the goals back. Defensively, it's quite disappointing. There's no doubt about that. But I do like the point that you're making about resilience, or Fionn might have been making about resilience, because that has definitely formed part of the run that we've been on and the really, really good form at home that we've been on. Look, it hasn't all been plain sailing during home matches. It hasn't always been that Josh Sargent's been absolutely dominating defences and scoring goals. We have been under the cosh at times. We have found that we've had to grind things out in midfield. The kind of axis of Kenny McLean and Marcelino Nunez is outstanding at the moment. I mean, I would think you would fail to pick two better central midfielders in terms of their form in the division. They've been amazing, and Nunez especially has really come to the fore and has just offered a bit of, I don't know, like, obviously he gives you control in games when he's on the ball, but actually just the little fouls that he's starting to make, you know, just the game intelligence that he seems to have garnered from being in the Championship for a good while now, just means that we're full of streetwise players. And I know we've criticised the recruitment on this pod quite a lot in terms of, oh, look, there's too many 30-somethings and all the rest of it. But actually, when you get to this stage of the season, maybe that is the benefit. Maybe it is that, you know, you've got a Shane Duffy who's just going to rally the troops a little bit. You've got a Barnes who's just going to not necessarily chuck an elbow, but be a little bit more niggly than maybe an Adam Eder. So, yeah, I think we have got that resilience. I think that it bodes well going into playoff games, you know, because that's where we're headed now. You know, there's one more win and I think we're pretty much a shoo-in for top six. It all feels, because it all felt before as if it was temporary and, you know, the bubble was going to burst and we were talking about Wagner's teams being streaky, and look, that still might be the case, but it all feels a little bit more sustainable at the moment.
It was a very long streak. I mean, you know, as streakiness goes, I mean, we are now going back to the start of the year. Was it 3 defeats? One of those, we all has got that massive asterisk next to it in terms of Borough. I really think that the personality, the persona of the team he's crafted. I mean, there was still, just going back to Wednesday night, so was it Tuesday night? When have we played? When it was Tuesday, I beg your pardon. So, oh, that's right, because you were at the Nest watching the women. So you were watching Norwich City, just a different flavour. Though there was a real sense on social media afterwards that, we've made negative substitutions and, because we didn't kill the game, we should have kind of kept attacking and kept running at it and what have you. And I said at the time that if we win against Preston, which is obviously a big if then, because Preston go in for the playoffs themselves or were until we took that away from them, then all of a sudden you look at 7 points from a week in which we probably all would have taken 7 points. We just probably would have assumed the draw being against the Scum or the draw being at Preston. So, I almost feel like maybe Wagner's also helped us in a similar way that we had to be patient with Farker's football. I wonder if Wagner's maybe because he's managed to see out and ride out the "don't know what you're doing, we want Wagner out" chance from earlier in the season, which now seem very far away, in my mind anyway. I wonder, Fionn, have we sort of learnt to try and have a bit more context and a bit more perspective in thinking, well, actually, this is a marathon, this is 46 games. If we drop a couple of points against these people, the freshness in Sargent's legs might become really important when we need him to do 90 at Deepdale.
Yeah, I think looking over the context of that week, 7 points is a brilliant return. And after the Wednesday game, there was some talk. I think someone had done some stats on when we've had sort of two away games in a week, or when we have an away game without a full week ahead of it. And we had one of the worst records in the league for that, as well as having a pretty poor away record generally. So the fact that after that quick turnaround, and I guess, I don't know if they stayed up in the week, but I assume they came up and went down again. So two long journeys to dig out that clean sheet at Preston is one of the biggest results of our season, I think, absolutely. And you've got to look at it in context now. We've got three games left. On paper, I think we have the easiest three games left in order to get the points we need compared to the teams behind us. And yeah, this week has been absolutely massive. I feel more confident now going into the playoffs on the basis of the sort of performances that we've now showing on that we can dig it out a bit more away from home.
Well, I think the context of those two things are so important going into the playoffs, where the one thing that's certain is, if we go in the playoffs, we will be playing away second. And I think in the Ipswich game and the Preston game, we have shown that if we're going to be under the cosh with hopefully a lead that we're defending, then actually we can probably just about see it out, because a draw will be good enough if we win our away game, or a narrow defeat will be good enough if we win our home game comfortably. You do not want to be coming to Carrow Road if you are Leicester, Leeds, Scum, Saints, West Brom, like whoever you are in the playoffs. You do not want to be coming to one of the most informed stadiums at the moment, based on our kind of consecutive wins and how brilliant we've been there. And if we can get a 2-goal cushion, I fancy us to go to the King Power and do or whatever that's called now. It's not still be called that. Is it still called that, Pump? Leicester Stadium. Yeah. Thanks, Fionn. Leicester Stadium. Well, I just got a day of the week wrong, so I'm not going to make an assumption that I've got a sponsorship deal, right? I really wouldn't want to play us. My question to you, Punt, is looking at, to Fionn's point about our run-in, the next two West Brom games are Leicester and Sheffield Wednesday, and Sheffield Wednesday are not going to be down or up by then. So whilst the Preston game, their last game, is a dead rubber compared to us playing Birmingham, we don't know yet. They have got two promotion relegation candidates that they are playing against, who are going to be at the sharp end of decision making. So like our next two games look an absolute cakewalk compared to that. So you've got to say that with only 1 point between us, okay, their goal difference is a bit better. So we probably do need to make up 2 points on them. I fancy us for fifth right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. And then it's Southampton in the playoffs, isn't it? No, and we talked about it before, but I think whoever we land
in about 8-8 or something on that.
Yeah. But whoever we land in the playoffs now, the narrative around it, be it, former managers, former players, a derby, whatever that looks like, with the exception of Leicester, Sky Sports are going to love it, in terms of the build-up, and that it will get whipped into a frenzy and it will become about personalities. And I think the good thing with the Norwich squad at the minute is that they've been through a lot of adversity this season, but they've also had to kind of filter out quite a bit of external noise. I don't know, maybe that's Weber's mantra on the walls of Colney is still there, and they're still able to ignore it, even though, they weren't able to ignore it earlier in the season particularly well. But,
I think it's a good point. I think we've been through it. Yeah, it feels that this season, like, we have had a season of narratives.
Yeah.
I feel like we might need NCFC numbers, although this might be a tricky thing to research, but, we can't have had a season where we've faced so many ex-players, ex-managers. There seems to have been every two or three weeks there's that one's important because of so-and-so. Do you know what I mean?
And that's the nature of the Championship to an extent. But I think there's something in... I wanted to go back to you talking about, I'd fancy Leicester or I'd fancy Ipswich or I'd fancy Leeds. I agree with that statement.
I didn't say I'd fancy Ipswich.
All right. Okay.
I said none of them would want to come to us. I'm quietly hoping that Scum go up automatically second.
Yeah,
that's the best outcome.
Unless
I think
for two evils, I guess. But that all depends on Wagner's mindset, doesn't it? Because we've seen it again, say like Southampton at home or Leicester away, where his outlook was very much he was pinning his formations and tactics and all of that on the opposition. Whereas against Ipswich, and all right, look, Ipswich was a no-show, for them, tactically, kind of physically, I think, almost. But we had no fear. We played on the front foot. We wanted to take possession of the football. We wanted to do things. We wanted to be aggressive, in terms of our attacking output. I worry that he wouldn't do that against Leeds, that he wouldn't do that against Leicester, that he might not even do that against Southampton. And that would be my concern going into all of this, is I don't think we have anything to fear short of Wagner fearing it himself. And I really hope I'm wrong on that, and that we go in it's the absolute opposite, because I think we can beat anyone. Certainly you're right, at Carrow Road, we can beat absolutely anyone. And then I would pick us, if we do then get that result, to be able to bring it home. But yeah, I think it's very much dependent on that. And we talk about, kind of narratives and all the rest of it. I should be really excited about the playoffs. I'm not looking forward to any of that, because we haven't experienced it for so long, have we, playoff football? It's all, every time we've gone up, it's almost kind of been a canter winning it with sexy football. This is the real sharp end where, it's conflicted feelings, because it's almost like, do you want to go up? And that sounds ridiculous.
Well, Saturday was as close. I was thinking this on Saturday. That was as close to a playoff game as we've had, because it was so one team was effectively knocked out. We wouldn't have been knocked out if we lost, but there was that consequence on the table. And the Preston players, I felt, played with that mentality. I think you're right with regards to Wagner's mindset. If you think about how we've been successful and how the season's played out in this run from January to now, I actually think that home first, away second suits us. It suits our mindset. It suits where we're good. It suits the way that we're playing. So also to round off this, we're not being kind of flippant about the fact that there is someone with a game in hand in Hull, but their game in hand's against Coventry. So those two are going to, you feel, almost by default, cancel each other out. They can't both come after us. So it is only going to be, if there's a draw there, that really scuppers them both. So if one of those two win, but I can't see us dropping more than 2 points in the last three games. What do you reckon, Phil?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Certainly it looks, I think, to be honest, Birmingham could be safe by that final day now, because having beaten Coventry on Saturday, which is a great result, they've now got Rotherham and Huddersfield. And you'd say you're looking at 3 points from Rotherham there, and
yeah,
Huddersfield's the 6-pointer that it hinges on.
Well done, Dave Carolan.
To your point about the playoffs, it's really got echoes for me of 2002 when we sort of stormed in right at the end as the form team played Wolves, who had done a Leicester and completely fallen off from a high lead.
That's
and,
right.
And then we got the 3-1 lead at home, not undeserved, I don't think, in that game. I think we came from behind and deserved to have that lead, and then I had to, you know, we got absolutely battered at Molineux, yeah. but again, ground it out, and yeah, I could see that sort of scenario again, and I think that's how it will have to be. We'd have to take a lead into the away leg, and then batten down the hatches, I think.
Well, quick mention for Gabby Sara getting into the midfield of the year, or team of the year in a midfield position. In the EFL Awards earlier in this week. Johnny Rowe, worth a mention that whilst he was runner-up to the Leeds lad for the young player of the season, the fact that we've got him, you know, freshly coming off the bench on Saturday and now hopefully poised for, you know, the run-in and the playoffs. Do you risk him, John, on Saturday from the start, or do you just go with what's been working and bring him on from the bench again, feeling like, if we don't need him, let's just give him 20 minutes.
I saw this debate on the Pinkham podcast. It was like, where the hell would you accommodate him right now in terms of if you're going to bring him straight back in the side? Because wherever you look, you know, if it's out on the right and Gabby Sara then goes back into the middle, you have to then move Nunez or McLean out of the side. I don't think that's feasible or fair right now. Borja Sainz has... I don't know, arguably he's probably the one that you'd say would drop out. Do you really want to do that at the moment, given that, you know, his work rate, Wagner seems to now have him moulded into the type of winger, certainly going backwards, that he needs. Going forwards, I think maybe he holds onto the ball a little bit too long, but actually, you know, a lot of wingers do that. So let's not, you know, given his finishing from the edge of the box, let's not whinge too much about that. So, you know, maybe it is Ashley Barnes that you drop out and then put Sara in the 10. But again, you know, as much as I've been a massive critic of Barnes this season, I don't think that would be fair based on the last four or five games. So it's really hard. I think that he is amazing as a bench option, and probably if we give him 20, 30, 40 minutes, you know, kind of in the two or three games coming up, then suddenly he's ready to start games in, you know, Championship playoff football, which is a bonus for everyone, isn't it? Sorry,
I don't think you can drop science.
I don't think you can drop any of them though right now.
No,
that's the difficulty, and that's, you know, we have been. It's not like when Josh Sargent came back, when it was like, right, well, we need him because we've been playing like, you know, absolute toilet for so long that, you know, maybe he'll change our fortunes. We've been playing, you know, pretty well and picking up lots of points, so there is no reason to bring him straight back into the lineup. The only reason, you know, the way to use him is as we used him on Saturday, is right, it's 0-0, 25 minutes to go, chuck him on, and then suddenly the whole complexion of the game changes because he's up against tired legs. He looked like, I mean, he was gliding past players like they weren't even there, probably because they were tired, but equally because he's a massively talented footballer that, I don't know, you know, possibly won't be at this football club next season because his ceiling is stupidly high. So yeah, I think we drip him in and keep the lads who are, you know, have got us where we are. We keep them in the team, and yeah, he's pretty decent option to have off the bench, eh?
Well, Bristol City are the opponents on Saturday, and they are on a decent run in having not lost in five. They've also had a couple of really notable victories, putting five past Blackburn and beating Leicester. So, you know, they're 12th and they're only, you know, they're not in the playoff conversation because they've kind of left a good run of form till a bit late to be involved in it, being about 12 points adrift as they are. But they're clearly no mugs, and, you know, we don't want to overlook them. I think, Fionn, the important thing, and this is where I wonder if he might tweak the formation slightly. I wonder if he does drop someone like Nunez out for Johnny Rowe and have Rowe and Sainz running at them and try and get ahead and try and really hit them with a lot of tempo early in the game on Saturday, because I feel like first goal is going to be really important, because the atmosphere is going to be rocking. It's going to be superb on Saturday. So you almost want to capitalize on that and blow them away early in the first half.
Yeah, it's interesting about the atmosphere, because I was having been at Preston on Saturday, obviously, great massive celebrations at the end. But what we didn't have and what we haven't had so far this season is any sort of singing about promotion. No one's done a big EIEIO yet, yeah. Which you think every other promotion campaign. I'm just wondering if maybe that we need to. Saturday will be the day we'll get that sort of, oh, we're in the playoffs now. It just doesn't feel to me yet like one of those seasons where you get the sort of promotion vibe. But yeah, I agree. I think Saturday will be a great atmosphere. I'm probably with John that I would stick from the start with the team that's been getting the results at home, and that's mainly because I think Rowe just looked so sharp when he came on at Preston. He just absolutely terrified their defenders running at them. Obviously they were tiring by then, and it was him that completely changed the game, also changed the atmosphere. That was when it was sort of lulling to a 0-0 a bit, and it just lifted the atmosphere, lifted the team, and I think that sort of secret weapon is something very valuable to have. So I wouldn't be surprised if we went either route, but I think I'd be keeping him on the bench and easing him in a bit like that.
I think it would be absolutely criminal to drop Nunez at the moment, given...
Oh, yeah, I agree. I can see it happening.
I think he's been our best player for probably the best part of 2 months. Yeah, he's been phenomenal. So, no, thank you.
No, I wouldn't go as far as saying he's been the best player for the last 2 months, but I just wanted to put it out there as an option for... My only concern is Bristol City is the form that they themselves are in, and the fact that it's a free hit. It's fun. We haven't really had party pooper status very often, because we've either been relegated and humiliated, or we've been the ones having an EIEIO season. So do you see what I mean? We've not really got to play that role. But I do know that it can be fun to have an away day where it's a free hit like that. And they can play, try new styles and try new things for next season. And maybe that's an element of what we're seeing with their form recently, the fact that they're playing so kind of footloose and fancy free. But yeah, I would go with the same team because of the message that it sends to their players. I think Nunez has been brilliant dropping in between the centre-backs and getting us moving. I also think that if you've got Duffy at the back, I think you need Nunez because Duffy's distribution is obviously so limited in comparison to most of the other players at the football club. It's not what he's bought for. It's not what he's in the team to do. And you saw against Ipswich that when someone has a really good game plan to say your only way out is going to be through Duffy, turnover of possession that way comes. We saw it. And that looked in the first 15, 20 minutes of the Ipswich game like that was the plan. The plan was we're going to press everyone really, really closely. The only person who's going to be allowed the ball at his feet is Duffy. And oh, look, we've got the ball back. And it wasn't, I'm not technically adept enough to know what we changed to prevent that being an issue. It might have, to be honest, it might be as simple as the goal was after 30 odd minutes that kind of changed the plan from Ipswich's point of view. But that looked like the most obvious route to Ipswich scoring. I do think we should touch on that, because the last time we podded was obviously pre-Scum, and then it's been three games in quick succession after that. I ended the previous pod with a bit of positivity, which I often like to do, but it did sort of dawn on me as I was wrapping up last time out that actually what if actually we do play really well, and what actually if they don't turn up, and it will be an amazing party. Fionn, That was a special derby. That was a really, really good, unexpected, incredible feeling. And the last time that many people stayed behind at the end of a game was you're talking end of season parade on a promotion day. I can't remember so few empty seats at full time plus four. You're talking 5-10 minutes afterwards. That was something special, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the tone for the day was sort of set early on, really, because obviously before the game I was very nervous about it and not really looking forward to it. And then we turned up in the city about, I don't know, 10:30, a couple of hours before kickoff, and everywhere was absolutely rammed. The sun was out, yellow shirts everywhere outside all the pubs. Yeah. You could hear the singing from the pubs from you know, the other side of the river, whatever. And you know, it's not been like that for a long time. And that, I just sort of thought, oh, we might have them here, because it just felt like everyone was so up for it. And then that carried into the ground. I thought the atmosphere was certainly the best since Man City in 2019, which is my previous sort of benchmark for my era. And yeah, I just saw everyone played their part, and yeah, it was absolutely a fantastic day. I mean, the whole stuff with the Ipswich fans after about rumours about 400 tickets being given away, I mean, it's quite funny. Yeah. But I thought their atmosphere was quite poor given the circumstances. Maybe that's nerves, which is perhaps understandable, but I think we really capitalised on that. We sort of let them know early on that they weren't making any noise, and it sort of sent them back into their shells. And yeah, I think everyone did themselves credit. And if we can replicate that in the playoffs, certainly that will be a massive thing.
I think it was an interesting thing that sort of caught fire, that, you know, the likes of Kieran Dyer and other ex people and people involved with the club were given kind of a percentage of the allocation, 15%, 20%. We've had Coventry 3-0 down with about 500 people there making unreal noise in that away end. It's a ridiculous excuse. Like, there's, you know, you don't need... Carrow Road is not a big cavernous bowl where it's difficult to get an atmosphere going. Like, if you've got 200 or 300 people at the back of that section standing up and giving it some, it's loud and it can be disruptive. They bottled it. The fans bottled it. The players bottled it. The occasion was way too big for them. They played... Just from the first 20 minutes, the, what, 8-9 passes played just purely out of play. Just like overhit passes, simple balls, just miscontrolled or hammered out of play. And that's tension. You know, that's tension that's been too amped up, too hyped up. And I think it's the reason that they blew their lines in the first game when we were going there in a far worse frame of mind as we were this time around. You know, I think a calmer team who are not so amped up around this is the reason d'etre for all of the people in the stands, and, you know, all we've been hearing for weeks is whatever you do, beat them. I think that the longer this getting towards 15 years run goes, the almost it means loads to both sets of fans. But it is, I think, one of the reasons that I was so nervous going into the game is almost you're aware of how huge it is for them. And you almost feel like this. We've now almost like having a 2-0 lead is a dangerous scoreline. You know, we've got this 15 years now to protect, and you're not losing one game. You're losing that. You're losing that huge breadth of things that we've still got to crow over. And punt. It's why I feel like, as long as it's not champions, if they go up behind Leeds or they go up behind Leicester, part of me thinks that it's funny that even in the season they get promotion, they still don't manage to beat us. The alternative is they finish third and we finish fifth, and we play whoever beats them in the, you know, we play West Brom in the playoff final. I just don't want to have to go through those nerves of the playoffs are nervy enough if it doesn't also involve, oh no, what if this is the game where they do it?
Yeah, and what if it's at Ipswich? At Wembley, that Ipswich, you know, kind of could do it. That would be almost inconceivable that would be the place that they'd end the hoodoo. You're right. It is massively important now because of what it means to them. It's almost like for us, not that I'm ever nonchalant about it, but it's almost like it is normal. You know, I have two children and the eldest of which, you know, is about to do, I've said this before, but is about to do her GCSEs, and she was about 6 months old when, you know, they last beat us. That is, quite frankly, ridiculous. There will be lots of other things that, you know, lots of other water that's passed under the bridge since they last beat us. And every time we play them, I'm almost looking for, I don't know, anything, like some little superstition that I've done or haven't done to make sure that you know that we continue beating them, because it shouldn't happen. And I don't know if it's ever, this will be one for NCFC numbers, I don't know if there's ever been a run of this length. And maybe, you know, in terms of years, because of the fact that we were in different divisions, maybe there has been, but actually in terms of this amount of games, you know, we've played Ipswich quite a lot. I don't know if it's like 14 games or something ridiculous. We've played them a lot, and they haven't really got that close to us at all throughout any of this. I said this on Twitter after the game, and then someone, you know, quickly put me back in my box and said, actually, although the scoreline was 1-0, it hasn't felt as dominant probably across the whole 15 years. And then someone said, oh no, actually, what about the season that we beat them 5-1 and 4-1, which of course was massively dominant. But actually, in terms of the control that we had in the game, in terms of their attacking output, the atmosphere, you know, everything, it just felt, and it didn't feel like it up until the day, but it, as Fionn, you've just said, just felt like it was Norwich's day, and nothing else was ever really going to spoil that. And it was magnificent. And atmosphere-wise, as I said on the pod, the preview pod for the Ipswich, it was the first derby that both of my kids have gone to. And you could just tell, I mean, Izzy was at the Man City game where it was phenomenal. But you could just tell, like, you know, for them, they were almost wide-eyed and like, this has gone up a completely different level. And I almost turned to them and I was like, yeah, this is what the football's like when it's really, really good, you know. And actually, it's quite unfortunate that for the first half of this season, this was your first season as a season ticket holder. But actually, when Carrow Road is jumping, when everyone is together, it can be a magnificent place to watch football. And it just was for the full 9,500 minutes, however long it was, from, you know, the banner being unfurled to, you know, just a wall of noise for 90 minutes. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, the banner was superb. Fantastic work to our
volunteers and supporters. Coming up with the kernel of an idea that Ben then, you know, took into an illustration, and then...
Well done, Colonel Fionn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not one of your most used nicknames, but we'll go with it from now on. So yeah, I want to just sort of finish with kind of some obviously guarantees of what's happening. I think the next game coming up is the one that I'm most worried about in terms of us not picking up points. It's the only one I think we can draw. I just don't think we'll lose it, but I just think we've got too many goals in us. I'm too confident about it. But this is the Championship, anything can happen, etc., etc. Fionn, can I have a guaranteed scoreline and a guaranteed scorer for Saturday, please?
Yeah, so, it's true that Bristol City are on a pretty strong run, but my sort of thinking is that we've sort of got the momentum and they don't really have anything to play for. So I'm going with a 2-1 home win. The scorers are going to be Josh Sargent, because he hasn't scored for at least one game, so he's due one.
It's a drought.
And Johnny Rowe off the bench, as we've discussed.
Ooh. Oh, Carrow Road will go ballistic with that. Like that. What about you, Puntilicious?
I'm never really that confident going into games, and I'm super confident going into this one, so that probably bodes badly, doesn't it? I'm gonna go full Tom Parsley and say 4-0. And I think that Ashley Barnes will get a brace.
I'd like that. Will he celebrate by swearing at the Barkley?
he's quite, like, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the pod before, but he got quite angry when Norwich had scored a goal and someone didn't pass it to him and they shot instead. And I was like, yes. He's quite an angry man, isn't he? Bless him. Maybe that's why he's got banned from all the race courses.
Well, because he's shouting at the horses. He's
quite angry.
Like, you won, but I had you to win by three lengths, not two. Yeah, I don't know if shouting at horses works. Right, I'm going to go with 5-1. We haven't had like a bonkers scoreline like that at Carrow Road for a long time. So we had that 4-2, didn't we? Was that Watford, I want to say?
Had a Rotherham 5-0 as well, didn't we?
Okay. I forgot about that. That was a good game. Yeah, so we have had one recently. Let's have another one. But 5-1, I do think they'll get one. Although I want to also shout out Angus Gunn for a week in which he was superb. The Ipswich game in particular, they are not a small team. And he came and claimed. And I know he dropped one on Saturday, which didn't amount to anything. But he has been a superb pair of hands over that really important 3-game run. So I think he deserves a shout out just because he didn't come up in conversation earlier today. But yeah, I'm going 5-1. I think they will nick one. I wonder if they nick one a little bit early and it gets a little bit nervy and then it becomes a bit of a possession. I love the idea of Johnny Rowe coming off the bench and scoring. I'm going Sergeant Hattrick to make up for his abysmal run of form of not scoring for a few days. Any final thoughts from you, Punt, as we head into this crucial final 3 games?
I I like your shout out for Angus Gunn. I'd just put it to you two guys as well, because I've been thinking about this now, and voting must be open. Gunny, Barry Butler. I mean, he's not my pick, but he's got to be top three now, right?
Nailed on top three for me, yeah. In fact, I think he's cemented in the third position for me.
And I'm presuming you're going Kenny 1, Gabby 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fionn?
I voted Gabby, but I think it's between him and Kenny first and second. And then, yeah, I think Angus would be well-deserved to be in there as well.
Yeah.
I think voting closes today, speaking on Monday, so...
Ooh. Ooh.
No more chances for anyone to get their way in.
Well, I haven't voted yet, so I'm now going to go and vote Gabby. And then, I take it you just get one pick.
Well, I get six or seven, but I mean, you know, special dispensation.
Kenny's a shoe in them.
Lots of VPNs and stuff. I haven't voted. I haven't actually got around to voting. So if Kenny is fourth by one position, I'll be disappointed. I think it's great. You always find it in a promotion season when you don't have Team Ripuki that you can make a really good case for several. But yeah, if the top three are anything other than those three, I'll be mightily surprised. And I wouldn't have any problem with any of the three of them lifting the Barry Butler. I don't think anyone could really complain if any of the three of them were hoisting that trophy come. I guess it would be the penultimate game, won't it? Because the final game's away.
Can you imagine how hard it would have been if Johnny Rowe and Sarge stayed fit all season?
They'd have to do multiple trophies. That'd be the only. But then we'd also have the league title. We'd also have the league title.
This is true.
Anyway, speaking of which, look forward to Saturday. Enjoy the guaranteed goals and goal scorers we've predicted. Sorry, guaranteed. And we'll see you again probably once more for a pre-playoff pod build-up of some kind. Bye, there you go.